Would you turn your Bible with me to John chapter 17? John chapter 17, and we will start. I'm sure you would agree with me. In the morning, I have all the good intentions, so I make a list of things to do. And start to doing it by the power of God. And at the end of the night, so I somehow, there's a few days I get to do that, I finish everything I wanted to do. And as I fall into bed with exertion, and I think about it, what I've done, and then thank God, and the two special feeling comes to me. One is accomplishment, the other one is relief. Am I correct? You guys done that before, right? Accomplishment and relief. As we've learned before, the Lord Jesus and His disciples were on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. I believe that Jesus was praying rather audibly as He was leading His disciples to this location. So they can hear what He was praying and be encouraged. And you might think that, wow, Jesus prayed the entire chapter long prayer? That long? Well, it sounds long, but actually, you can read the whole chapter at normal speed under 4 minutes. You prayed longer than 4 minutes. And you may say, no, it's more like a thank you for the food. Maybe you did. It's a fault of preacher and my fault and the preacher and the Bible teachers to extend this thing in the 3 Sunday morning teachings. As we studied this morning, Jesus prayed to the Father in heaven for 3 things. Verse 1 through 5, he prayed for himself. Verse 6 through 19, he prayed for his disciples. And verse 20 through 26, he prayed for the whole church, including us in this sanctuary. Let's start at verse 1, and we will hear from the Lord and pray. Father, with one solid mind, to desire to hear from you, we come to you. Father, we know that you are the source of life. You are the source of all good things. Father, we also acknowledge that there's nothing good in us unless you put them in our heart. Teach us to be more like Jesus and less like ourselves. We pray that we be doing things that please you, not the things that will please our carnal desire. Father, we are asking you to let your Holy Spirit open our heart to receive your truth. Let him speak, not a man. Father, we pray that you forgive our sins, and the one who speaks specially, for his sins are many. Father, we pray for President Trump and all the leaders in this country. They have a great responsibility. Father, we are asking you to speak to them. They may do what is right in your sight and honor you and follow you. And Father, we pray for them, our soldiers and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Father, we are asking you to protect them as they protect us and put the hedge of protection around them and comfort those who are away from their family. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Chapter 17, verse 1, please. Chapter 17. Jesus spoke this word and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Stop there, please. Bible is filled with great prayers. For example, you would be impressed with Abraham's prayer in Genesis 18. And Moses' prayer in Exodus 32, and King David's prayer in 1 Chronicles 17 and 29, and his son Solomon's prayer in 1 Kings chapter 8, and Mary, Jesus' mama, and she prayed, and it was a phenomenal prayer, Luke chapter 1. But this prayer, in my opinion, is the best, greatest recorded in the Bible, as well as, and I am sure that other Bible students would agree with me. Why should this prayer be considered the greatest prayer of Jesus? Don't we have other prayers by him in the gospel? Yeah, of course we do. But this prayer shows us much more of Jesus. Someone who is very wise said that the person's innermost being is revealed by the genuine prayer. Let me say one more time. This is very important. A person's innermost being is revealed by the genuine prayer. That means you bless my food and bless my sleep. That doesn't count. Well, it counts, but if it comes from the bottom of your heart, that shows about you more than any other things. It is a unique opportunity for us to see the nature and the heart of Jesus. When we hear someone say, "Let's pray," the most of us will bow our head and close our eyes. But we see that Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven. This shows us that we should never confuse the non-essential things of prayer, such as the location or posture of our prayer mode. In other words, you can be hung upside down, still you can pray to the Lord and he will listen. Posture is not necessarily important. Your mind is. You got to know whom you are praying to. If you're praying so that other people can hear you, how impressive your prayer languages are, you are not praying to the Father in heaven. Are you with me? You are trying to impress someone. All of a sudden, you're using normal jive language. All of a sudden, you're turning into King James Version, and you're starting to use that funny language. No offense to anybody in King James. But that's not 21st century language. So if you're using that and try to impress others, knock it off. Just speak to God as normal language. Let it come from your heart to the Lord. I'm not knocking down King James people or you readers. Nothing to do with that. But if you are trying to show how spiritual you are, that's a different story. Am I making sense to you? The location doesn't mean anything. But the prayer mode is the essential aspect of the prayer. The essential aspect of our prayers are the one who hear our prayers. Our God, not the people around us. Are you with me on that? Don't try to impress others. Our sincere and humble heart and praying according to whose will? God. Mine, right? Mine. Sounds like one of the cartoon characters. Not according to our will, but according to God's will. So you can ask all you want and then say, "But not my will, but your will be done." Amen? Being a pastor, I often ask to pray for someone for themselves or someone whom they love. I'm absolutely honored to do so. I want all of you to know this thing clearly. I do not have any special connection to the Lord, or with the Lord, more than any born again Christians. I don't have one of those red phones. I pick up the phone and the Lord says, "Shut up, angels, JK is calling me." I wish I had that kind of thing. You know, one of those red phones that between the Washington and Moscow. One time, President Reagan was in the office and somebody asked him, "What is that red phone?" He picked up the phone and said, "I want egg over easy and bacon, two strips of bacon." Nothing special. It just happened to be one of these people. We don't have that kind of formality. When God hear our prayer, he hushed the sound of angels. He can do that. And he can hear us exclusively. And there are millions of people. Yeah, he can do that exclusively for the millions of people at once. That's why he's God. We are not. So when you pray to the Lord with honest heart, he is all ears. You don't need a formality. You don't have to be a gigantic spiritual giant. He hears all of our prayers equally and attentively. Isn't that good? So how many times did Jesus already tell his disciple that hours of glorification has not come? But now, the hour has come. The hour has come in which the Son of God would end humiliation by man. But most of all, he would end the sacrificial system that was required for every single sin of every single human being in history once and for all, through his own death as the perfect sacrifice. All the sacrifice they've been made, it was a temporary band-aid. Did you get that? It was a band-aid. But when Jesus came, he gave himself up for sacrifice for us. That was done. Finished. It is no wonder he said it is what? It was the hour for fulfilling all prophecy regarding the Messiah. It was the hour of the triumph over sin, death, and the prince of this world, Satan. It was the hour of dismissing the old and ushering in the new. It was the hour when the sun refused to shine for 3 hours. It was the hour when the earth rocked and shook and the grave opened up their dead. It was the hour of glory for the Son of the living God. Amen. Some might object, isn't Jesus selfish to pray for himself? No. I don't agree with that idea. Don't you pray for yourself? I do. Unselfishly. I pray that I may do what is right in the sight of God according to his will. A prayer for self is not by any means a necessary of a selfish prayer. Additionally, this particular prayer shows how much our Lord Jesus laid aside his glory to save the wretched sinners like us. We find a very important word, glorify and glory. Two words, glorify and glory. Not many other religions have this word. 5 times in this verse. The Greek word for the glorify is a doxazo. Of course, it is a verb. The noun of this one is a doxa, D-O-X-A, where we get our English word doxology. From human point of view, Calvary, where Jesus died, was the horrible display of human sins. But from divine point of view, cross revealed and magnified the grace and the glory of God. Yes, Jesus glorified the Father through his miracles throughout the Gospels, as we see. But he brought the greatest glory of God, the Father, through his sufferings, death, resurrection, and ascension and coronation back to heaven. Nothing he did was out of God's will. Nothing he did was his own selfish thing. Everything he did, every following the step to glorify the God in heaven. So when was the last time? Honestly, ask yourself. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything like that. But when was the last time you do something special for the glory of God? You got to think, right? I do. Okay, did I do things, any particular thing for the glory of God? Or did I do it so that I can get a pat on my back? And somebody say, attaboy? Or just self-satisfaction? When was the last time? The Lord did everything for the Father. He brought the greatest glory to the God the Father through his suffering, death, and resurrection, and ascension and coronation. Through Jesus' atoning sacrifice, we get to have a glimpse of the love of God, and the mercy of God, and the power of God, and the righteousness of God, and judgment of God, and the wisdom of God, and the knowledge of God, and many more. Everything God the Father has funneled through Jesus Christ. Are you with me? All right, go down to verse 2, please. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that we should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, and the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Father, the Father has sent his son Jesus, all authority, given all authority over all authority, all things according to the book of Philippians. So keep your finger right there and go to turn your Bible to right. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, right before book of Colossians, page number 1561. Does it help? At the name of Jesus, what does it say? Every knee shall bow, and of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and those under the earth. I'm sure you've seen some people, especially the atheists, some people say he will not bow down to anyone. They will. They will. When they see the full glory of Jesus Christ, they will bow down, without an exception. So what is the eternal life Jesus was talking about? Is he talking about spending our eternity somewhere in heaven without having anything to do, bore out of their gore and mind, floating endlessly, equally with the equally bored angels? Have you ever seen this picture? On the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel? To answer that question, we need to find the answer that supposed surpass our imagination. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. What is heaven like? I'm going to show you. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So whatever you think the majesty of the landscape, when Karen and I went to the Alaska, I left my heart in not in San Francisco, but in Alaska. Beauty, absolute beauty. Wherever you think the most beautiful place, make that millions, billion times over, and still cannot touch the beauty of heaven. How do I know? Because of what it said. According to the book of Revelation chapter 4, Apostle John saw the throne room of heaven. That is beyond any human imagination. And the angel and the people who were in heaven worshiped the Lord forever and ever. I can really doubt that we are going to see St. Peter standing at the pearly gate, outside the pearly gate, with a clipboard in his hand. If you want to more astounding description of heaven, go ahead and read chapter 21 and chapter 22. But you got to have a lot of imagination. And then multiply a million, billion times. They will blow your mind. Some of you guys know that I'm an artist. I think I have a pretty good imagination. But I cannot even fathom what it looked like. Okay. When somebody asks me to do a drawing, most of the time, I can see the final product before I even pick up the pencil, start to draw. That's the ability the Lord put in my heart. I can have that kind of thing. But I cannot even fathom what it's like to be in heaven. Golden Boulevard, just simple, transparent gold. Have you ever seen transparent gold? And it's solid gold, but it is so pure that you can practically see it through. And if you have a little itty-bitty tiny gold and it makes up big money, the Lord is so rich, he paved the road all the way. And there is no evil, only the glory of God. Can you try to put your mind around that thing? I cannot. If you want to more a stunning description of heaven, go ahead and read chapter 21 and chapter 22 of Revelation. They will blow your mind. Eternal life in heaven is only found in the intimate knowledge of God, revealed in Jesus Christ. It is not about knowing God in the sense of a book knowledge about Jesus, rather knowing him in the fullest sense, knowing him as the Savior and Lord personally. How do we get to know him? The more you read the Word of God, the more he will reveal to you. That's why it is important for you to read the Word of God, the Bible. You know, we have this thing going on that each year we hand out the Bible chart, reading chart, and asking people to join me to read the Bible. If you follow that chart, you will be able to finish the entire Bible in a year. I don't know how many times I've done that so far, but it is wonderful. The Word becomes part of your life. With that in mind, let me tell you the story. Long ago, great actor in New York City gave a wonderful performance in a large theater. It's long ago, obviously. At the close of which, there were a round of applause going on and on. He was going back and forth again and again to the stage. Finally, someone called out, "Would you recite for us the 23rd Psalm?" Obviously, it's many years ago, right? "Why, yes, I know the 23rd Psalm," the actor said, "but under one condition. Here's my old friend, who has been a pastor for a long time," pointing to the old man at the front row of the seat. And the actor continued, "I would do it only if he also recite the psalm after I finish." The elderly pastor came up to the stage and stood next to the actor. The actor started to recite Psalm 23 with nothing left to be desired. Great pitch and great tone, baritone tone. As far as the performance concerned, when he finished again, there was a thunderous applause. Then the actor turned to his pastor and he motioned him to recite the same psalm. The elderly gentleman closed his eyes and started to recite his well-known psalm. Of course, he remembers in King James Version, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down on the green in the green pastures. He leads me not and leads me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, I walk through the valley of shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparedst a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." When the old pastor finished this, there was no applause, but there were not a dry eyes in the theater. What happened? The actor came to the front of the stage, and he too was wiping his eyes, and he said, ladies and gentlemen, "I know the word of 23rd Psalms, but this godly man knows the chapter." Knowing the text of the Bible, anyone can do that. Religious professor in college or university, they can quote the Bible better than I can. But it's one thing to know the text, it's another thing to know the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? The Greek word for the know is a gnosko. It is not knowing Jesus haphazardly, rather intimately, through the believing in him as our God who came to save unworthy sinners like us. The devils and his demons knows Jesus as God. Without any doubt. Not just knowing about him, but having personal relationship with him and through faith in him gives us eternal life in Jesus Christ. Are you with me on that? Go down to verse 4, please, in chapter 17. "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now," verse 5, "and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world." In verse 4, we find the method of Jesus, how he glorified the Father in heaven, perfect and complete obedience to the Father. Jesus said, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." Let me ask you this, folks. Listen, Come on. Look back at me. It's not pretty sight, but it's look at me. Do you do what God tells you to do? Don't take this question lightly. Or would you rather do what you want to do and from time to time I will sprinkle what God wants me to do in your life? So if that's the case, if you do what you want and from time to time you sprinkle what God wants in your life, who is the boss? Let me ask you this. Who is the boss? Is that you or is it God? Who is in charge of your life? Let it sink. Who is controlling your life? Even though the agony that Jesus is going through at the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew that. And torture and crucifixion of Golgotha was still in the future, but Jesus knew that. From this moment of prayer in Jesus' mind, he already finished the life of perfect obedience from birth to death and perfect righteousness. By going to the cross willingly, Jesus showed us there's nothing the love of God would not do for his own to redeem them, to bring them to glory. So here in verse 5, Jesus is longing for the heavenly glory back and longing to go back to where he had come from. And sometimes we get a little glimpse of the glory of Jesus while he was on the earth. Think back to the transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. Go to this. Matthew chapter 17, please. Verse 1. Are you guys hot? No, of course not. I must be having a hot flesh again. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brothers, led him up to the high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses, Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. We read this and exclaim, wow, that's a miracle. How cool is that to be there to see this miracle? Actually, I don't think that's a miracle. He just showed who he is for a short time. The real miracle, in my opinion, is how he hid his glory while he was on the earth over 33 years. He could show his glory and say, I am the king, you are not, and all of them will bow down. That would be a force, right? But God wanted him to come to him voluntary mode. Let's go back to the verse 5 and chapter 17. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Was Jesus asking for the glory, that something that he didn't possess before? No, he had it. Or is he asking for more glory than he had before? No. He's not going back to any greater glory, because he was full of glory as God before he came to earth. There was no degree of being God. You know, if you learn martial art, you start with a white belt and then you start to go up. And you achieve black belt, you think that's the end of it. Even after the black belt, and all of a sudden they add more color on your belt. There's no degree of being a God. It is not like a Hindu religion, which has many different levels of achievement of divinity in their religion. Jesus didn't become God. Are you with me on that? He was God. He never left being a divinity. He just simply put away his glory for the people can see. To Jesus, cross was a gateway to glory. Glory for the Father who sent him, and glory for himself, and glory for the sinner he came to redeem. That's us. If any of you think that you are not a sinner, I'm going to introduce you the Savior. at the end of the disciples. Verse 5, that could not come from Jesus if he could not be, if he were not God himself, equal with the Father. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 42, right before Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah 42. You there yet? It reads, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. And turn to your right and go to chapter 48, verse 11. Do you know there are some churches you will never hear what you just hear? Flipping pages? And I know some of you are thinking, why don't you show the Bible verses on the screen? Here's my word for you, answer. Don't be lazy. It's your word. It's the word of God. Shouldn't you look for it? Verse 11. For my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned? And I will not give my glory to another. All right, that's the case. According to these two verses, God does not share his glory with absolutely anyone. Correct? Correct? If the Father and the Son share their glory, there is only one answer for this. They must both be God. Would you agree? So I have a question. Did God the Father answer Jesus' prayer? Did God the Father answer Jesus' prayer? Yes, he did. First, Martyr Stephen, according to Acts chapter 7, and he was right before he was about to be stoned. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse 54, please. When they are the Pharisees who are about to kill Stephen, they heard these things, they were cut to their heart. In other words, they are convicted. They gnashed at him with their teeth, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. Let me stop there. How physical human being can see the look up to the heaven and see the spiritual things? There was only one answer. God opened his spiritual eyes. Can that happen to you? Yes, it can, if you choose to. But if you want that so you can brag about it, so you can write a book and make money on it, probably you ain't going to get that thing. We have plenty of those people already doing that kind of thing. Let's go back to verse 55. Being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus, what? Standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heaven opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Stephen saw Jesus in glorified state. And you may say, I'm not so sure if I'm going to trust you. Well, don't trust me. Trust the Bible. When you get to heaven, you will say, oh, that dinky guy said is true. No, I just read what the Bible said. Two applications. Number one, the essential aspect of our prayers are the one who hear our prayers. Oh God, would you agree? Not the people around us, our sincere and humble hearts, and praying according to his will. The essential aspect of our prayer is one who hear our prayer and our sincere and humble heart and praying according to whose will? Amen. According to whose will? Amen. So you can pray all you want, whatever comes into your heart. And at the end, you say, not my will, but great. You guys passed the test. Second application. We need to initiate our Lord's complete obedience, our Lord Jesus' complete obedience. We need to imitate our Lord Jesus' complete obedience to the Father without resistance, without complaint. We are good at complaining, aren't we? I don't know about you, I am good at complaining. I'm making a whiny noise to God. He ignores me a lot. Folks, remember, not our will, but whose will? Amen. Let's stand up and pray.